And as you think about this, causes of stress and depression during Christmas. They said that Christmas time is one of the highest times of depression in the world. Why is that? Well, because for many, it's the absence of a beloved person. For some people, this will be the first Christmas that you will go through without one of the loved ones in your life who had a significant part of your life.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Depression Can Hurt, The Lord Can Help, from our series, Let's Get Personal About Your Issues. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Depression Can Hurt, The Lord Can Help.
Preachers will tell you all you need is the Bible. All you need is the Word of God. No, some people need a little more serious intervention. Some people need a little more deep attention in their issue, especially if their issue is biological, if it's hereditary. You know, depression can be hereditary. You can inherit it from your parents. If you had parents that were depressed, then that could be passed on to you. Or it can even be medical. And so let's not discount that. And I know even as I share this, there's probably some people that say, well, no, all we need is the Word of God. Well, no. You know, I think that if God would come down and you would ask him, do some people need medical intervention, that he would say, yeah. So you got to ask. Now, again, and I'm going to say something about this in a second, is that this is not necessarily something that you can detect maybe on your own. You may need to go somewhere and sit down and talk with somebody so that they can do some analysis and tell you exactly what's going on with you. Another cause of depression is unbiblical thoughts. Depression can be caused and proliferated as a result of negative thinking about the world, oneself, and the future. This is what's called stinking thinking. And some people, the reason that they get depressed, now look at this. I don't know about you, but let me give you an example. Sometimes if I get up and my day don't start the way that I want to see it start. You know, a perfect day for me, this is a perfect day for me, right? I get up, I have devotions, and I go work out, and then that's a good day for me. That's a good start to the day for me. But it don't always happen like that. And sometimes when it don't happen, then I get a little discouraged. And you know what? Your thoughts begin to deal with you. And you begin to say, man, I can't believe I didn't get up this morning. I can't believe, you know, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And then you start beating yourself up. Then all of a sudden, you know, you carry these thoughts on, you know, in negativity. And you start thinking that, man, you know, I wish I'd have did that today. And then your whole day is messed up. And then you get ready to go to bed that night and you say, man, you know what? I already had a bad day. And you know what, man, this thing is just not working. And then, you know, negative thinking. But if you get up and things don't necessarily go the way that you want them to go, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, this was a bad day today. I'm going to chalk it off as a bad day. But you know what? The sun, as Annie would say, will shine again tomorrow. It is going to shine tomorrow. And so you got to get rid of this thinking. You got to get rid of this. And you know what? That's why I say, I'm going to go back to the first one. If you need medical, biological issues you got going on, you need to get that checked out. But for most of the people that are dealing with this type of depression, you just need to get before God, confess it, and get your mind right. You need to change your thoughts. And again, I'm not trying to minimize it because I keep saying this for a reason. There are some people that need more serious intervention. I keep saying that. I'm probably going to keep saying it so that people don't say, well, Pastor Glaze said, all you got to do is stop thinking unbiblical and your situation will be. No, I didn't say that. I'm saying that that's a big part of people's situation, is that they have unbiblical thoughts. And when you can line your thoughts up with the Word of God, then you can just about straighten out a lot of the situations that you're going through. Unbiblical responses to negative situations. You know, everybody is going to have something happen in their life that's negative. I don't care who you are. The Pope, the President, it don't make any difference. Now, if you don't deal with, if you respond to it the wrong way, then that can drive you into a state of depression. I already gave you an example is when people die that were close to you. If you don't handle it the right way, that is a, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me just keep rolling. Let me keep rolling because we got the answers on the next page. Weariness. Sometimes people get depressed because they're just tired. They've worn themselves out. Either they haven't slept well or they've worked themselves out. They've worn themselves out. Elijah, when you read about Elijah, he was calling for God to take his life. He said, Lord, kill me. Lord, take my life. Now, here was a man of God. You just defeated hundreds of prophets of Baal. You just saw the glory of God manifested. And now you're depressed and you're discouraged. Why are you so discouraged? Well, if you find out that after he had this confrontation, that he probably ran about 30 miles without stopping, and then he comes to rest, and he's just tired. He's weary. You need to go somewhere, brother, and get refreshed. But weariness can cause people to be depressed. And then satanic attacks. Now, I'm going to say this. You might want to write this down. And it's this. That in order for Satan to attack you with depression, you got to give him something to work with. In order for him to attack you with depression. See, Satan, he's not like God. And Satan don't have a big cup of depression. And then here you are walking down the street, and Satan pours this cup of depression on you. He don't work like that. You got to give him something to work with. And if you have unresolved anger, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, if you have bitterness in your heart, if you have rage in your heart, if you have jealousy in your heart, then you have given Satan something to work with. And then he'll come in there and you'll be angry and you'll be so angry at another person and you'll want to grab them and choke them and spit on them and kick them and all this other kind of stuff. But you know that you're not going to do that. And then you sit there and you stew and you're angry because this is what you want to do. And you're angry because this is what you're going to do. And then all of a sudden you realize that nothing is going to be done. You can't do anything. And then you sit there and all of a sudden you start getting depressed. And it's just on you. And it settles on you. And then Satan comes, and then he just rides that thing. He'll ride it for all that it's worth. But the reason that he can ride it is because you gave him something to work with. That's why we need to be sensitive to people who are going through this Christmas depression. Because what's going to happen is that Satan will come in, and he will ride that thing in their life for every second that is worth. And that's why we have this spirit and this ministry of intervention, of trying to encourage people and tell them what it is what thus saith the Lord. So as I conclude this message today, let me share with you, how do you overcome the hurdle of depression? How do you overcome the hurdle of depression? Well, number one, and I keep going back. I said it before. I'm going to say it again. You've got to seek professional help. If the cause of depression is biological or medical, intervention will be necessary. When the person is not sure whether this is the cause, he or she should have a professional assessment for diagnosis. The individual who is dealing with this type of depression, now I'll say this, and I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble, but my email address is ironman@gmail.com. That's my email, ironman@gmail, right? as you think about it, somewhere, no matter where you start out on this journey dealing with your depression, somewhere You need to be getting with a Christian counselor. You need to get with somebody who is skilled in the word and that's going to help you to walk through your issues. See, because let me tell you something. Man can only take you so far in the therapy. Man can deal with your mental state. Man can deal with your emotional state. And man can even deal with your physical state. But there's one thing that man can't touch in therapy, and that is your spiritual state. And if you are going to get right, you got to be right emotion, body, mental, and spirit. And so in order for you to get this healing that you're going to get and be able to overcome this depression, you better have somebody somewhere that's cracking open the Word of God and telling you that this is what you need. This is what God would have you to do. Now, again, I'm not saying don't go anywhere else. I'm not saying that. But in your intervention, get with somebody that knows the Word of God. Because there's a whole area that the world can't touch. You know, I was invited to Western Psych a couple of months ago. They had a forum at Western Psych where they had a bunch of psychiatrists and psychologists, and they were being trained in the field. But they asked me and a couple other people to come down and sit on the panel. You know why they asked me to come sit? Because they wanted a biblical perspective. They wanted to say, they realized the value of having input or at least having exposure to somebody that was doing biblical counseling. Because they realized that there was an area that they weren't necessarily dealing with. So, saints, all I'm saying to you is if you're getting intervention, make sure you're hooking up with somebody that's opening the Word of God. Secondly, you got to think on the right things. In order to overcome depression caused by stinking thinking, you got to do what Paul said in Philippians. Turn there. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So you got to set your mind on the right stuff. You can't be setting your mind on, Here's where I get in trouble again. See, you can't sit around all day and play video games and watch video games of people killing each other. You just can't do that. That's filling your mind with the wrong thing. Oh, it's just a game. It's just a game. Well, you tell it, you know, to the families of these 20 people who a man was able to go in there and just kill their babies. Some of the kids didn't even still had their baby teeth in. You tell it to these guys out here on the corner who don't have regard or concern about life and won't think a second about taking a gun and shooting somebody. See, you know, this whole culture has desensitized us to this whole issue. And so we need to, you know, realize that we need to put the right things in our, especially in the minds of our children. We got to put the right things in their mind. You can't be filling their mind with a bunch of garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. I mean, it's as plain and simple as that. And so Paul said, you got to think on the right things. Think on these things. Fill your mind with these things. You know, people sitting around all day long watching pornography. What do you think that's going to lead to? What in the world do you think that that's going to lead to? And then it's probably going to lead some guys to a state of depression because they're going to see something in the pornography that they're watching that they can't get, and then all of a sudden they're going to get depressed because they can't get it. Paul said, think on these things. Think on these things. You know, if you want to deal with depression and over, you got to have your mind right. You just can't let any old thing come in your mind. You can't let any old thing come before your eyes. Number three, hope in God. Hope in God. If you are depressed, then the first thing that you ought to do is turn to God. David said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God." Hope in God. That I might not have hope in the world circumstances. I might have just lost my job and it seems like there's no hope. I might have just lost my best friend and it seems like there's no hope. I might have lost my husband, my wife, my mother, my father, and it seems like there's no hope. Hope in God. Because if there's a little flicker, a little spark, he can turn it into a flame. It might not be tomorrow, might not be next week, but have hope. Jesse Jackson said it years ago, keep hope alive. The reason people commit suicide, because they lost hope. They don't have any hope that things are going to get better. I don't care. You know what? In the midst of my sickness, I remember coming home one night, dealing with all the stuff I was dealing with, and in the midst of my spirit, I was wondering if I was going to die. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, is this your way of taking me out of here?" And I began to think that. But I never lost. I never lost my hope. I never lost it. I was wondering whether God was going to use this to take me out, but I never lost my hope. I said, "Lord, as long as you got something for me to do, I'm going to do it." And then I put down some scriptures here that you can look at. One is Psalm 34:18, God is near to those who are of a broken heart. Psalm 147:3, God heals the brokenhearted. Isaiah 41:10, he upholds the righteous with his right hand. Isaiah 43:2, when we pass through the fire, when we pass through the water, when we pass through judgment, he is with us. He is with us. In the midst of your loneliness, in the midst of your depression, he said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of depression, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be depressed, and they shall walk and not faint." You can't let this thing overwhelm you. It might have you down. You know, they say that as bad as depression is, as bad as it is, they say that it's one of the most curable conditions that man can face. One of the most curable. If you will just get intervention, if you will just get some help, God will work this thing out for you. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay depressed, overcoming the hurdle of depression. Number four, confession. Confession. You need to confess to release that guilt that's inside of you. Some people are depressed because they've done something years ago, and this thing is still weighing on them today. And you need to get before God, and you need to make restitution. You need to do whatever you need to do and get this thing off of you. As they say, get this monkey off of your back. Look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32. David, who had labored under guilt, we already saw that he was dealing with depression. He labored under the guilt of his sin. I believe that was one of the main things. I mean, David had a lot of problems with his enemies. I understand that. But I think that one of the problems David had was the fact that he knew that he had committed sin. And he felt that guilt. And he didn't deal with the guilt. He just let it ride for over a year. He never dealt with his guilt. And then in Psalm 32, David said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." Why did he say that? Because it was him. He said, "Whose sin is covered." He said, "I was laboring under this guilt, and it was weighing me down. It had me depressed." He said, "But blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no depression, no evil, no guile. Look at this now. Watch this. When I kept silent, when I didn't confess, when I kept it to myself, when I let this guilt eat me up, when I let this guilt eat me up and it led to depression, he said, my bones became old through my roaring all day long. He said, day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture, my life, my vitality, my exuberance, it was all dried up like the summer. Isn't that what depression is? Isn't that what depression does? It dries you up. And David said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and praise God, you released me. You released me. You forgave me of the iniquity. See, some people will go a long way in their depression if they will identify the cause, and then they will just release that thing and let it go before the Lord. Number five, this is universal with people who are Christian and who are not Christian that deal with depression, and that is you need to have a time of restoration. That if you are dealing with depression, you need to take some time and be refreshed. The Bible is filled with admonitions and examples of restoration. Spiritually, you need to be refreshed. The psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. Emotionally, you need to be refreshed. The psalmist said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And physically, you need to be refreshed. Jesus saw the disciples ministering, going here and there, burning themselves out, and Jesus told them, come aside and let's rest for a little while. See, you need to take time for restoration. You need to take time to be restored. Yeah, and that may be, you know, you may, even in this right here, exercise, eating right, those type things, those might be your restoration too. So you got to, you know, seek the Lord and ask him, what does restoration look like for me? If you worn yourself out, and again, keep in mind that during Christmas, a lot of people will get depressed because they have just worn themselves out. And they'll look back and say, man, I'm tired, I'm depressed. You need to be restored. You need to be refreshed. And then finally, when you deal with depression that has been caused by Satan, you need to put on the armor. I mean, plain and simple. Now, this past summer, we went through a whole series with Tony Evans on the armor of God. So if you don't know how to appropriate it, you might need to get with Sister Watson and see if you can get that information. Pastor Glaze has a whole series, I think about a 12-week series that I did on the armor of God. You need to see Brother Jeff Angel and get the series if you don't understand how to appropriate the armor. The reason that Satan is whooping on a lot of people's heads, the reason that Satan is beating a lot of people up, is because they're not putting on the armor of God. And so we need to put on the armor of God, and that will help us against any depression that comes our way. Now, again, I'm going to go back and say it. There's some depression that I'm not going to treat flippantly. There's some depression that people do need to go get serious intervention for. But I think a lot of people that are dealing with depression, if you would just line up with the Word of God, that God will help you out of that state of depression. And we need to realize the power of God and the power of His Word. And if we do that, He'll lift us out of anything that we're going through.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the first half of Patience. I can't wait to have patience. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Depression Can Hurt, The Lord Can Help, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Depression Can Hurt, The Lord Can Help. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Depression Can Hurt, The Lord Can Help. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.